You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We had to do an emergency edition of the Illini Inquirer podcast because Illinois basketball making it a feel-good Friday with a little bit of a surprise commitment and an early commitment from the class of 2024 and one of the top prospects in the state in the class of 2024, Merez Johnson, 6'9", power forward out of St. Rita, which is maybe one of the most loaded teams in the state with all this in-state talent leaving the state, but St. Rita has loaded up. And the guy who broke the news, Scott Burgess, PrepHoopsIllinois.com. Scott, this is big news for a Friday morning for Illinois.
Yeah, definitely. Right when you think it's all about the 22 class and National Signing Day next Wednesday, I know a lot of Illinois fans are anticipating the Ty Rogers news, and then boom, you get a surprise. So good, huge day for Illinois. Land the number two player in the state of Illinois in the 2024 class. We're doing our overall top 50 prospects regardless of class in Illinois, and he'll be one of the top five overall prospects regardless of class in Illinois. So wow, a huge pickup.
I'll ask you all about him. But this is an early commitment, Scott, in a day and age where, I mean, you and I remember Tracy Abrams. Those guys were like committing as sophomores. That isn't as popular nowadays or as big of a trend. So how do you think Illinois was able to land him early, and why do you think Merez wanted to commit to Illinois so early?
Yeah, you're definitely right. Like when you and I were first doing this, it was early commitments and Jeremy committing before he even entered high school and kids getting offers that super early. And it's definitely trended away from that, which honestly, like, I think is a good trend in general.
Agreed.
Kids. But with Merez, what's different is he took visits. It's not like he never visited these schools. He visited Ohio State. He visited Illinois. He went to Notre Dame and he went to Oklahoma, all with his teammate and a fellow top prospect, James Brown. And from what sources have told me is he wanted to commit right after the Illinois visit. Wow. He was sold on what they said. He wanted to stay in state, and people in his camp wanted to calm the brakes a little bit and say, hey, like, let's not fall in love on the first or second visit here. Let's see what these other schools have to offer. So he tripped to Notre Dame, and he went to Oklahoma this past weekend for their football game and everything, and he came back and said, I still want to do it, and I'm done with the process. When I interviewed him at Pangos a couple weeks ago, you could kind of tell he was already over the recruiting stuff, like, which is weird to say as a sophomore, but he's got a lot of offers early in the process, and he was just, I think, ready to get this done with. He's one of those kids that he just wants to play basketball and just want to get out there and do his thing. And I think, all the interviews and all the other stuff, it just started to wear on him a little bit. Yeah. But he knew what he wanted to do, and he pulled the trigger.
So, obviously, for Tim Anderson, Mean Streets connection here. Merez plays for the Mean Streets, and Tim knows the Chicago area very, very well. This is a big first addition for him, obviously. What do you think Tim and Brad Underwood did so well here, and how much – I mean, Scott, it's been a while since they've been able to sell a lot of success to in-state prospects. How big a role do you think that played in this recruitment?
Yeah, it's huge. For years you hear like 2005. I'm like, these kids don't even know who those guys are. Like, they don't even know who Darren Williams is. And Darren Williams was a multi-time NBA All-Star. But now you can sell them on the success that's happened over the last 2 years with Io and Kofi and, Curbelo. They're going to be a top 10 team this year, one of the top teams in the Big Ten. So you have a lot to sell right now. And now's the time to capitalize on that success from last year. Recruiting success, you really see in those next couple classes after you have a big year. And this is huge. Yeah, Tim Anderson paying off immediately right here with the Mean Streets connection. That was a huge pickup for him. The whole staff really worked it. They were very, even before Tim officially came on staff, you know, Jeff Alexander, Chester Frazier, Brad Underwood, and Tyler Underwood, they were all at St. Rita games consistently during June at Riverside, Brookfield, and Ridgewood, and made them feel like a priority. And I think that was important to those guys at St. Rita. Yeah, it's paid huge dividends early on. And, you know, for Illinois fans, this gives you even more hope that you can get in to that pipeline, not only with Mean Streets, but with St. Rita, because they have two other top five prospects in that class. They have one of the three best prospects in the freshman class, in Melvin Bell. So, yeah, it's a huge day for Illinois.
All right, so Illinois beats out schools like Florida, Iowa, Nebraska, Ohio State, Texas had offered as well. You mentioned Oklahoma, you visited there. What kind of player is Illinois getting? I mean, he's only a sophomore, so he can grow this game before he gets to Champaign, but what kind of prospect makes him the number two prospect in the state in his class?
Yeah, so he's just an explosive power forward. He's long, athletic, got good positional size. Those are the things you look for from the jump in a young prospect. He plays with a motor. He plays with tenacity, both on the both rebounding, running the floor. He's a great rim runner. And the skills really starting to come along. I saw him a couple weeks ago at Pangos camp, and maybe the first game, he had one of the most dominant performances I've seen at that camp ever. And it was seals, spin moves on the block, rim running, catching lobs, getting on the offensive glass for second chances. He's really super explosive on that second jump. Good rebounder on both ends, can block shots. The offensive game is starting to expand too. We saw several threes that he made stretching the floor, working in the pick and roll, working in the pick and pop. You know, I think right now he hangs his hat kind of on the energy, motor, tenacity, stuff around the basket, works well in the high-low with his teammate. But I think as time goes on, I think he could definitely evolve into a stretch four with the capabilities to do even more.
Obviously, when you look at big men, you need length, you want athleticism, Scott, but tenacity and effort and motor, that sounds like it's up Brad Underwood's radar. But that also, to me, for you as an evaluator, that has to stick out when it comes to big men. Because, I mean, it's not always you see that kind of effort and tenacity, and that's so important, especially in a league like the Big Ten.
Yeah, just in general, the whole motor thing has become something that over the last 4 or 5 years I put a lot more emphasis on, that it's something that if you want to play at the highest level, you have to bring it consistently. And I think he's the type of kid that he's starting to show that he has that, like that drive and that willingness to want to dominate. You know, obviously last year as a freshman, you know, they started four freshmen most of the season, and they got their butts handed to them a lot of game, but like those guys kept fighting, and you could see it in Merez that he wants to be really good, and he plays the game the right way. And yeah, like you said, the motor thing is something in the Big Ten that plays really well with all the toughness. You know, he's wiry strong at this point. He's not like super strong, but he's got the frame to continue to add strength, which, you know, obviously he's got 3 years to do that before he gets to the Big Ten. So, yeah, but the motor is definitely something I love about him.
I just got the replacements. He's wiry in my head after you said that. All right, you mentioned it. You mentioned St. Rita is absolutely loaded. James Brown is the number one prospect in the class 2024, according to you guys, according to you, Scott. I mean, what do you think this does for Illinois? They not only approach the St. Rita kids, but this is a really good sign for underclassmen, right? Whether it's 23, 24, 25, Illinois seems like it's got kind of a head start on a lot of those.
Yeah, I think they've done a great job getting in early on these guys. You know, getting the St. Rita kids down there, getting Nogis down that same weekend, you know, they've put out offers to the correct 2025 guys, Bryce Hurd, Munoz, Melvin Bell. So, you know, getting those involved with those guys early, I think it's, you know, obviously paid big dividends today. But then you talk about 2023s, like, you can start selling those guys now on, you know, not only do we have guys in the 22 class like a Jaden Epps, that, you know, are locked in, but then on the back end you can say, you know, we got Merez coming already, so you can sell that to an Asa Thomas, you can sell that to Jeremy Fears and Boswell and Day-Day and all those guys that, you know, you're going to have a guy to throw lobs to. You're going to have somebody coming. And, yeah, I think it's definitely important. And, you know, I think with one of the questions I get a lot from just my friends that are Illinois fans and people in general is, like, when are they going to start to dominate Chicago? And it's like, you're never going to dominate Chicago. Like, right. It's never going to be where you're going to go up there and land the top five players in the state. Like, that's not going to ever happen. But this is a big sign, I think, of things shifting for an in-state kid with, you know, 10 really good high major offers to be like, I'm done. I see what I want to see. I know what this program's about, and I want to just get this over with. Yeah. So I think it's a big, big sign for them.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Scott, before I let you go, I just want to get your quick thoughts on Illinois' efforts with some of those guys. First off, a new in-state. It's rare that you get to see a kid transfer into the state and not out of the state. But Ty Rogers now at Thornton, which obviously Ty Streets and the Mean Streets connections there. He played for Ty for AAU as well. Illinois seems like it's really in a battle with Michigan State, a few others for him. But coming down to the wire here with early signing period next week, where do you think that recruitment stands?
Yeah, so obviously I think he's down officially to Illinois, Michigan State, Memphis, Alabama. I don't see Alabama that much in the mix. From what I'm hearing, it like Illinois and Michigan State, it's a battle between those guys right now. Before he moved to Illinois, like just this summer and stuff, when I was around him at several tournaments, kind of the buzz was he was going to go to Michigan or Michigan State. You know, that toughness factor that Brad Underwood loves also is very much shared by Tom Izzo. And so I think he fits those two programs perfectly. He's the kind of player that you can not maybe necessarily build the program around, but he's a guy that can be a piece for multiple years, because you're going to get a top, what, 30, 40, 50 player in the country there, and he's going to be there for 3 years. It's not like you're expecting him to be a one and done. And that's right. What has turned around the Illinois program is not necessarily getting the Koa Whitneys or like those type of players who were going to bounce after a year. You get Io for 3 years, you get Kofi for 3 years, you get Curbelo for two, if not 3 years. Those are the type of guys you can build on with class after class. And he brings the tenacity, he brings the defense, he's a really good rebounder, slasher. I think the thing holding him back right now is he's not a great shooter. He's a solid shooter, but not a great shooter. But all the intangibles that he brings would be a huge addition to Illinois, alongside, you know, the two commits that they already have in that class. I think he would be like the perfect addition to what they already have. And yes, it's very nice to have a player move into the state and not see them move out. Thank you very much.
Yeah. What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? I know Illinois fans dreaming of JJ Taylor. I mean, that kid is probably going to have a chance to go pro right away, right? But just what are your thoughts on him going that route? Some kids going overtime. You know, three unbelievable in-state prospects, or I guess four now, that have left in that class of 2023 when you include Matas Buzelis. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that and probably was awful with it. Jeremy Fears, Kylan Boswell. Like that's a heck of a group that's playing all across the country.
Yeah, and then obviously you throw in 2022, Amari Bailey, yeah, and number one player in the country. Yeah, it's hard to lose those guys because you look at the rankings and it's like, yeah, it would look a lot better if those four were 1 through 4, and then the rest of it looks a lot better. But I just think it's where it's going now, unfortunately. It's just kids want to go to prep school. They want to play in these national tournaments every single weekend. And I think there's certain traditional, like Brewster, a program like La Lumiere. Those are like established programs, but I'm never going to understand Donda Academy. Just not my deal, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows me knows I love Taylor Swift, so I can't have anything to do with Kanye West.
I got you, man. You got to defend your girl.
Yeah.
All right. Before I let you go, Jeremy Fears, Kylan Boswell have been here on campus. Illinois's got a heck of a guard pitch, right? I mean, with Io doing what he's doing in the NBA, the development he had here, Curbelo, the development he's had here, and we expect him to take another step. Jaden Epps has bought into it, Sincere Harris. And what do you think of the Illini's chances of getting at least one of those guys?
Yeah, I think they're definitely in the mix. And you got to throw Darren Ames in there as well. So they're in on three guys that I would consider all top 50 prospects in the country at the position that is, at the end of the day, the most important position on the floor. Like, as Illinois fans have seen with Io and Trent Frazier and Curbelo, what having guys like that has done for your program. Like, it's great to have wings and bigs and everything, but if you don't have the guy that can get him the ball and you don't have the guy that can control the pace of the game and run a team, none of that really matters. And so they're in on three of the best in the country. I'm hearing a lot of positive signs toward them with all three. I think that with Boswell obviously being from Champaign, that it's going to be a huge factor in the recruitment. It's, you know, does he want to come home? And Illinois's got that selling point to him. With Fears, I think Illinois has done the best job recruiting him. They've made him a priority from day one. They, you know, recruiting him, were every chance they could get, they wanted to be in front of him, whether it was open gyms or, you know, even seeing his little brother play at Joliet West. They just wanted to be in front of him. And you know, I think that I would be pretty surprised at the end of the day if they didn't get one of those, well, at least one of those three in the 2023 class to be like the Curbelo replacement down the road. And I know their dream is to get two of them to play off each other, because, you know, that's where the game of basketball is going. Is you can see it in the NBA, you see it in college basketball, where you can play two point guards, especially if they have some differing qualities where, you know, one's can play a little bit off the ball. But yeah, those three guys in general, I would say, are the the next main targets to really hit hard for Illinois and try to get one of them on the board. And then I think you can get rolling in 23 with some other, you know, in-state guys like Asa Thomas, Davius Lowry, those type of players. So they're in a really good position early on.
Yeah, Scott, like you and I have covered this long enough to like, you know, you can't just go all in on state and just in state because you're not going to get all of them, right? But you can get Iowa. You can get Adam Miller. I know he transferred, but that was a big get for them. You can get Merez Johnson, and you can get your fair share, but Brad Underwood's also done a good job of getting talent elsewhere, like the East Coast or the international market like they have. But now that's allowed them to get in the conversation. Like the conversation we're having is the most positive we felt probably about Illinois basketball recruiting in state in a while.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you made a really good point with the out of state, where maybe in the past they would put like all their eggs in one basket. And something I've thought that the Illinois staff has done well is putting them across the board. And obviously Illinois and Chicago in general is always going to be a priority and the number one priority, but they have contingency plans when plan A doesn't work out. And so I think that's been huge for them. And like you said, the international connections and just being able to go to different areas of the country, what, you know, Chester Frazier and Jeff Alexander have done in other areas of the country, building those relationships and getting them involved with prospects that aren't necessarily from Illinois. Or, you know, obviously Kylan Boswell has Illinois ties, but there are other prospects they're involved with nationally. And I think that's huge. And at the end of the day, it shows those in-state prospects that, hey, they offered me, they're showing me that I'm a priority, but I'm not their end-all be-all. Right. So if I want to do this, I need to jump on. Not necessarily saying like that was a factor with Merez, because they would have taken his commitment down the line at any point. But I think you can start to kind of put a push on some of these kids and say, hey, you know, we got a kid from wherever, Texas or Florida or internationally even, and say, you know, we want you, you're our number one priority, but we got another dude who's waiting that he's itching to commit. So we need a decision earlier than maybe you wanted to do this.
Great stuff. Scott Burgess, prephoopsillinois.com. Scott, great work on this, and we'll catch up with you soon. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
Great stuff from Scott Burgess of Prep Hoops Illinois. You can check him out on Twitter at Scotty B Scout. That's at Scotty B Scout on Twitter. He was all over this thing. Derek Piper has a story up now on the site. We'll have more on Merez Johnson, a nice early commitment. And as I was talking about with Scott, this is pretty normal. Back when I first got into covering recruiting, which was, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010, like everybody was committing as freshmen, sophomores. Remember Ryan Boatwright? Remember that name? Committed as a high or an eighth grader, I believe. Forgot who we were committed to at that time. USC? Yeah, I think it was USC. Ended up at UConn. Great college career. National championship, I believe, at UConn. But it was just crazy how early they were committing. But Merez Johnson feels great about Illinois, and what an early statement for them in a very talented class in the state. And getting a front court position like that's a good sign. And I agree with Scott. You can sell that to 2022, 2023 recruits as well. And I think that can be a good sell. It's like, hey, we got more coming. This ain't falling off a cliff. And for Illini fans, I think it tells you this staff might be pretty good too at recruiting. Tim Anderson's got the connections, but it wasn't just Tim Anderson here. Obviously, it helps to have the trust of that Mean Streets program and people around Merez. But you know, Brad Underwood's built this thing. Chester Frazier, we've seen, is a really good recruiter, and don't underestimate Jeff Alexander either. What he's been able to do and his impact on the program and just his knowledge of the program and being part of the continuity of what's made this program so successful. So congratulations to those guys. It's a big win for them early on. All right, Joey Wagner and I are boarding a flight to Minneapolis here in just a few hours. Illinois against Minnesota. The more I've watched Minnesota, this isn't a team that, you know, is going to, I think, compete against the Ohio States of the world. They did, I guess. I shouldn't say that. They did compete against the Ohio States of the world. But not a team that has a bunch of NFL prospects, but they're just a really good, well put together team. And whether you like PJ Fleck's personality or not, and I wrote this in the preview, you can't argue with what he's built up in Minneapolis. He has built a winner, and that's all this guy has done at the college football level. He gets kids to go there, one, and then develops them incredibly well. And he's built a really good football team that I think Brett Bielema looks at and says, well, he has said this, me and PJ aren't very much alike as people, but both in-state natives, and how has PJ built his team? Offensive line play, running the football, stopping the run, pretty strong special teams play, but and he's had some really good receivers the last couple years, but this team, one of his better ones, the wide receivers are solid, but the passing game isn't what's leading it. Just a team that takes care of the ball, controls possession, and I think it's going to be a really tough matchup for Illinois. I do think Minnesota's beatable. I mean, Bowling Green beat them. So if Illinois plays like it did against Penn State or plays like it did against Nebraska, I think they have a chance to win. But Minnesota's not going to give you many opportunities. They are the leaders in the Big Ten in time of possession. They're two in the Big Ten in rushing offense. So Illinois' offense has to take advantage of any opportunity it gets, and that includes early in the game. Illinois has 3 points offensively in the first quarter this year. You're going to need to take advantage of every possession you get against Minnesota. Illinois is actually leading opponents in the second and third quarters, but the first and fourth quarters, they're absolutely getting trounced by opponents. So Tony Petersen's crew has to be better, probably going to have to score 20 points in this one, because despite losing all these running backs, the offensive line from Minnesota has several future pros. And Daniel Fa'alele gets most of the attention because he's 6'9", 380. Yes, 6'9", 380. And he's really good. He's going to be a top two-round pick in the NFL. I think that's Minnesota's first O-line draft pick in more than a decade. It might be two decades. So great for them. But John Michael Schmitz, a center out of the state of Illinois, is really good. And Blaise Andrews, their right guard, who's a former four-star prospect, is really good as well. So that right side of their offensive line is really, really good. And Marquise Irving, an Illinois native, has played really well for them. There's a lot of Illinois natives on that Minnesota team. And Brett Bielema is trying to keep that from happening, which Illinois has 8 Illinois natives in their class 2022. PJ Fleck has 0 this time. So I think Illinois is going to put a dent into them, but I think what you see in Minnesota, that's what Brett Bielema wants to be in a year, two, three. I think that's exactly what he wants to be. And you can see Illinois and Minnesota over the years, similar tracks, similar programs, kind of struggling to gain that consistency. But Minnesota, at least recently with their last two head coaches, has been more consistent. Or even with Glenn Mason, they've been more consistent getting to bowl games than Illinois has. Illinois has had higher highs for the most part outside of PJ Fleck's 10-win season. But Illinois has gotten to some of those BCS games, just not many solid seasons in between that. So I predicted Illinois to lose this one by two possessions, two touchdowns. And most of our scores were Illinois in the teens, Minnesota in the 20s. I think Ryan Eastring had Illinois or Minnesota scoring 31. So yeah, I just think it's going to be really tough. I think Minnesota deserves its top 20 ranking right now. They are beatable. If Tanner Morgan has a bad day, they can be beatable, but they're just more consistent, more solid than Illinois at this point and where their programs are at. I did want to hit on two entries in the transfer portal as well. Derek Smith, the former Miami transfer, who just never really worked out in Illinois, started a couple games at safety, but I just think he was a tweener. I think he was an outside linebacker, and I think that's where he should have been for most of this part. Physical kid, in run sports, solid athlete, just not quite fast enough, not quite the read guy they need back at safety. So he was started. He was going to start the first game if he weren't hurt, and played some this year, played some last year, but obviously really struggled when he was put back there, especially in pass coverage. So not a surprise. He fell down the depth chart. Kirby Joseph stole a spot, and he really didn't have a spot. So not a surprise he entered the transfer portal. And this one wasn't a surprise either. I think it hurts a lot more. It's going to garner the headlines a lot more. But Marquez Beeson enters the transfer portal, which is just a shame. He is the highest-ranked recruit Illinois got here, at least from the prep perspective. Top 100 prospect. Bought into Lovie Smith in Illinois when so few prospects outside of him and the Trinity Catholic kids like Isaiah Williams were buying in. So you hate it for a kid like that who The first week we got to see him at training camp, he had like 5 interceptions. Now, he wasn't going against contact or anything like that, but in one-on-ones, he was dominant. And then week 2, tears his ACL, and we only saw him 7 games after that. Missed his first freshman season, probably was in line to be a starter that year opposite Nate Hobbs, and I think he could have been a great playmaker because he was confident, man. Swagger like none other as a high school prospect and when he came in here. But then obviously a huge recovery. COVID probably hurt his recovery a little bit. Had some nicks, some injuries, hamstring injury going into this year that really just slowed his development. And there had been talk that he could transfer once Brett Bielema got here. So it's not a huge shock that he's leaving now, especially after a switch to wide receiver, which I didn't think was a good sign for him. He didn't show a lot of physicality last year, which this staff really wants at corner. Even the last staff wanted to see at corner. Didn't see a lot of that out of him, so he switched to wide out. But I hope he gets a fresh start somewhere, and he will, because somebody will take a chance on him, and they should, because the talent is there. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him transfer closer to home. But, you know, I covered Marquez since he was a recruit, man. Love talking to him and wish him nothing but the best. There's going to be more of these, right? Guys who are buried on the depth chart especially, there could be a surprise. I don't know who those would be. But if you look at the depth chart, I think fans and us media should know that every year now, 10 to 15% of the roster is going to overturn, right? And when you have a coaching change like this, we saw over, you know, transfers late in the spring, early summer. But there's going to be more of these. And Illinois wants to add a lot of talent, turn over the roster to fit what they want, get players who fit their three-man front scheme on defense more, fit people who fit what they want more offensively, whether it's the quarterback room, more pocket passers, wide receivers getting more physical guys, or the offensive line getting bigger, stronger, quicker up front. So all of those things. I think you're going to see more of that turnover. Just because you see guys under the transfer portal doesn't mean this is, what's going on? Everybody's going to have this. This has been a very busy week in the transfer portal. 2 of them happen to be from Illinois. There's going to be more of them. But Illinois is going to hit 7 at least, guys, because they want to get to 7 transfers out so that they can sign 32 players. They're going to sign 20 to 21 prep players. Brett Bielema has been upfront with that. Most of them by the early signing period. They want to have more defensive players coming up here. But then they want to add 10 to 12 transfers who can help immediately. And they need help immediately. With all the super seniors leaving and the year you've had right now, you need a lot more talent. So they're going to go out in the transfer portal and try to really boost their chances to compete in the 2022 season. So more transfers will not be surprising, unless it's some of the guys we think are the mainstays. It won't be too alarming to me either, because a lot of these guys, coaching change, there's position changes, there's scheme changes, and there's just a different outlook on what they want in their roster. And there's going to be a big offseason for Brett Bielema, kind of resetting his roster, and he's going to add to that in future years. But this is kind of a huge turning points offseason to where he's going to get his guys in here, his kind of players in here, and we'll see what he can do with it, because last year the transfer portal hasn't really worked out for them. Add a lot of guys who are good culture guys, I believe, but haven't just made a huge impact on the field. They need to find guys who can make a huge impact on the field immediately. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. We'll have a busy weekend. We got basketball season right around the corner. Illinois at Minnesota. Joey Wagner and I will be up there with the latest on that. Early signing period for basketball is next week. Early signing period for football is in a month. So now is a great time to sign up for an Illini Inquirer VIP membership. You can do that for just $1 for your first month. Everybody have a great weekend. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.